What people say. Oh man, it's good to sing praises. It's good to pray. It's also good to play in the sanctuary and just enjoy God's presence. And that's the singing helps us do that well. It's also good to hear a message from the Lord. And that's one of the things I'm always amazed about, how the Lord wants to speak to his people. He's not a God who just wants us to sacrifice and appease him like the ancient gods were. He's a God who actually wants to speak to his people. So we're invited to listen now. Today we resume our Neighborhood Life Discipleship Series. This is now the fifth message in this series. I think it's been a really good journey, and the journey continues tonight with our Neighborhood Life Discipleship Series evening gathering. I'm thankful for Pastor Rick and the leadership and the mission team as well for their leadership in this whole endeavor. And I have thoroughly enjoyed reflecting on the theme of neighborhood life. Now we go to a very important passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, which I think really helps to kind of bring neighborhood life together. This is a very important passage. So let's go there. Reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12, and then we'll also read verse 17. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. And when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go onto its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you.' Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we delight in being in your presence, in your house. We delight in singing your praises. We delight in praying to you. And we also delight in hearing your word. Please speak to us now, for your servants are listening. Form us spiritually for mission through this very important passage from Luke's gospel. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you read through the New Testament Gospels, you'll see Jesus calling many people to follow him. Jesus was constantly saying to people, "Hey, come. Come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men, or I'll teach you about the kingdom of God. Come and follow me, and I'll show you the good life. Show you how to live the good life in the kingdom of God." And happily, many people followed him. Of course, we naturally think of the 12 disciples, the core group of Jesus' followers. Like one author said, this is his youth group. I thought that was kind of fun. This is his youth group. These are his students, and he mentors them very well. And actually, in Luke chapter 9, we see them going out on mission. Jesus has this youth group. He mentors these students, and he says, "Okay, now you go and do it. Go and practice." In Luke chapter 9, he sends them out with power and authority. They go out on mission. And they're even able to drive out demons and cure diseases. And he sends them out to proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus' key message in the Gospels. So as Luke writes, they set out from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. And so as a result, the church grew. Jesus gained more followers. In fact, by the time we reach Luke chapter 10, there are at least 72 students in his school. And like the 12 disciples, they were ready for some practical experience. So Jesus sends them out on a mission trip. Interesting, he sends them out two by two. What was their assignment? To go ahead of Jesus into the villages and proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. Now, during the Neighborhood Life Discipleship series, we've learned the importance of going. Going to the people and proclaiming this good news about the kingdom of God. And that's what Luke chapter 10 is all about. So as we reflect on this story, what more can we learn about going? Going out and proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. Well, what does Jesus say to his disciples before they go on mission? And what does he also say to us as we go out on mission in our neighborhoods? So as I reflected on this text in the presence of the Holy Spirit, three points, instructions, I like to call them marching orders, emerge for us to help us be more effective in our outreach. So marching order number one, go as a team and pray while you go. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus gathers this team of disciples, this little youth group, 12 disciples, and then he gathers more because those disciples go out and gather more people. And then he goes and sends the 72 out two by two as little teams. He didn't send them out alone. And I think this was very intentional. Jesus is not a loner. Of course, Jesus is unique in his personhood and in his mission. Nobody but Jesus could die for the sins of the world. He's the only Savior. So in that sense, he is entirely unique and Jesus is alone. Of course, in fellowship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to going out on mission, notice Jesus says, don't do it alone. Take a friend. Go out as a team. And I think that is such a wonderful reality and just a wonderful principle for us to follow as we go out in mission in our neighborhoods. You don't have to do this alone. Take a friend. So it's better that way. And I think this point has come out abundantly clear in our Neighborhood Life series. In fact, I'm recalling when Pastor Rick led us through the neighborhood mapping, we had this huge map of Lacombe, an area, and we pinpointed our location. And then we noticed, oh, there's actually a few others in our neighborhood that are followers of Christ right here. And we were invited to partner with those particular believers in reaching out to our neighbors. We're not alone. It actually felt quite good. We're not alone in this mission. And we've taken that to heart in our own avenue. We partner with another family in planning block parties and Christmas parties every year. And it feels really good to go to this particular family and say, okay, let's do this. When are we having the block party? Okay, let's come with me. We'll go around and we'll send out the invitations. And I often bring a child, one of my kids with me as well. And we go around two by two or three by three. And we go around and invite our neighbors to those parties. It feels good to do this with someone else. We don't have to do it alone. In fact, Jesus encourages us, instructs us, go out two by two and reach out to your neighbors. So, with that in mind, whom do you partner with in reaching out to your neighbors? I know there are moments when we do this alone because that's what happens. We're out walking our dog, we're checking the mail, and you encounter someone. That's fine. The Lord is with you. Do not fear. Love your neighbor. Do it alone. But there's also many moments when we can do this with someone else. Go out and do this with a friend or a partner, and you will feel supported and blessed on your mission. So as Jesus paired up the disciples for this mission trip, you are invited to find a partner. I wonder who that will be. If you don't have one, I invite you to pray about it. And in fact, speaking of prayer, that's the second part of the first marching order. Go as a team and pray while you go. Interesting, Jesus says, okay, partners, pairs, go out. And while you go, pray. Pray for workers in the harvest field. He said, I can see that the harvest is ripe. It's ready. Your neighborhood is ready. People need to hear about the kingdom of God. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to experience his love. Jesus says, pray for more workers in the harvest field as you go. I love that. So going and praying while you go. And the interesting part for me is that I think while we pray for more workers in the harvest field, guess what happens? You become the answer to your prayer. Isn't that amazing? You pray for more workers in the harvest field, and then you become one of those workers. I think Jesus, that's what he intends here. Of course, you're not alone. Others will come too. And I'm encouraged that as we pray for more workers, this movement is growing in Lacombe and area. I'm absolutely delighted. I believe that this is the direction that our church is called to go out to our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our schools, and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near, not just wait for them to come. So our first marching order based on Luke chapter 10 is go as a team and pray while you go. So marching order number 2, go to the people and dwell among them. Notice that Jesus assumes the disciples went to the homes of the villagers. Now probably that's the way it was just done back then. These are ancient villages made up of streets and homes and farms. No McDonald's, no Tim Hortons. Starbucks, whatever, wherever you like to go. There must have been some kind of third space, like the courtyard in the village, or maybe there were restaurants, I don't know. But, we know there were some inns, right? Jesus was born in an inn, right? There was no room in the inn, so they had to go to the homes, right? There we go. Thanks, Jude. So Jesus says, go into the homes. And maybe, as I said, maybe that's the way it just was. But I think there's something strategic about this too. Going to where the people are, not waiting for them to come to you. I think the early church understood this concept very well. They were constantly going out among the people. If you read through the book of Acts, you'll see that the disciples spread out. Okay, they go. They spread out across the known world. They go to the people. They don't wait for them to come. Now, I mean, mind you, at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the people do come to them. But often, then after that, they were sent out. They spread out into the known world and proclaimed that the kingdom of God had come near through Jesus. I think the early church understood this very well, this concept of going out. But some point along the way, I think we lost that basic thrust in our mission. Started building these big, beautiful churches, and I love big, beautiful churches. But when we, my wife and I went on a Western European tour, our first year of marriage, it became a cathedral tour. And I was very happy about that, because I'm a church history guy. But you know what? I think the medieval church said, build the church and the people will come. People will come. And I think by and large that did work out for them. Many people did come to those big, beautiful cathedrals because they met God there in that beautiful place of worship. But you know what? As I look around me and as I read and I hear, I listen, I don't think as many people are coming anymore, are they? They're not coming into the sanctuary like they used to. So I think it's time we went back to the early church model of going to the people. And happily, this is what we've learned through neighborhood life and what Pastor Rick and others have modeled very well for us. going to the people and dwelling among them. Now, of course, not everyone will welcome you into your home, and Jesus makes that very clear in our story, right? The disciples weren't welcome everywhere they went, nor was Jesus, for that matter. So you may have to be a bit creative with that, about when going to the people, where will you meet them? But there's always a place to find people who need to know Jesus. You have to look around and go to them. One of the ways that I'm trying to do this as a pastor is through Timmy Tuesday. Most Tuesday afternoons, you'll find me at Tim Hortons. And happily, some of you join me there. And I love that. And it's been a really good time of gathering and meeting and fellowshipping. And I've met a number of people from the community. This is my effort to go to the people, go where they're dwelling. And there are always people in Tim Hortons. Let me assure you. And you might be one of them. Come and join me and I'll buy you a drink. And we'll sit down and chat. So this is a formal invitation. So the basic principle here is to go to the people and dwell among them. So how is the Lord calling you to go to the people and dwell among them? Maybe you're feeling a bit shy about this. I understand. It can be really hard to go to people. Not everyone is wired the same way. Some people are really, really shy. And this is a very hard thing. But you know what? As you pray and ask God to say, Lord, can you show me who needs to receive your love today? And also, where should I go to meet these people? The Lord will guide you. He will. He's guided me in this matter. He will guide you as well. And as you go, you will begin to start developing meaningful relationships with people. This is, which is the Jesus way, right, of kingdom proclamation, relationships leading to speaking and to storytelling. And you, the Lord will use you to proclaim the kingdom of God has come near in your neighborhood. I've seen it many times in our lives as a family, but also in others. If you want to hear more stories of this, come to Neighborhood Life. Stories galore. I love it. But how God is using regular, ordinary people to reach out to other regular, ordinary people. So this leads us to our third and final point, third marching order. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. So as we go out to the people and dwell among them, as we form relationships, what are we supposed to say? What are we supposed to do? Well, Jesus makes it very clear. We're called to go and proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. This was Jesus' primary message in the Gospels. So what does it mean? Well, we could spend a whole sermon unpacking the idea of the kingdom of God. We don't have time for that, but basically the kingdom of God is wherever his rule and reign exists. This is the kingdom of God. Welcome to the kingdom. But not just here. When you go into your neighborhoods, you are following God's will, obeying God. The kingdom of God is coming near among you. And of course, the kingdom of God came near through Jesus coming and through his presence and work in the world. That's when heaven and earth became really close. You know, the Old Testament prophets longed for the coming of the kingdom. They prophesied that the kingdom of God was coming. They were waiting for the Messiah to come, right? For centuries they waited. And then he came in the person of Jesus. And then Jesus said, okay, disciples, go out and tell the world that I, the Messiah, has come. I've come. It's finally happened. I have come. And in the Old Testament, when the Messiah was coming, when he would come, the people knew this would be a time of restoration and renewal, a time when the temple would be restored. People would be worshiping God again. They knew that people would be there'd be justice and peace on the earth. They longed for that day. And Jesus is saying, go announce that it's finally come. The kingdom of God has come near. It was just a wonderful, wonderful moment. And when we think of Jesus ushering in that kingdom, we know the kingdom of God was already here. It's always been here. God's kingdom has always existed and always will exist. But when Jesus came, it took another step. It's like it came in more fullness. One day it'll come in complete fullness when Jesus returns. Oh, we look forward to that day. Right? That's when there will truly be peace on earth. Everyone will be worshiping God and loving each other the way God intends. But even when Jesus came a long time ago, the kingdom of God was coming in a little more in its fullness. I like what N.T. Wright says here. He says, with the coming of Jesus, God's rescue operation has been put into effect once and for all. A door has been swung open in the cosmos, which can never again be shut. It's the door to the prison where we've been chained up. We're offered freedom. Freedom to experience God's rescue for ourselves. To go through the open door and explore the new world to which we now have access. Isn't that good news? The kingdom of God has come near through Jesus. And now you are invited to enter that kingdom. God's arms are open wide. Jesus says, come. Come and follow me. Come into my kingdom, and I will show you how to live the good life, the life God intended for you right from the start. And then I'll send you out to tell others about me and that good life too. So we're all invited to come into the kingdom. Now, if this is the first time you've heard this news, welcome to the kingdom. Welcome. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. You are a sinner that needs saving. So am I. I'm the worst of sinners. I need Jesus too. Jesus came and died and rose again for you. Now you can be free from your sin and slavery. You can come into the kingdom and enjoy it. It's a wonderful place. Welcome to the kingdom. And then Jesus says, okay, now that you're in, I'm going to teach you more about it, and I'm going to send you out to the kingdom of God. And so that's what we're called to do. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. So, the question then becomes, for me at least, how do we do that? How do we go out and proclaim that kingdom? Well, interesting, Jesus calls the people to go out and announce it. There is an aspect of words. That's why I was reminded again how important my voice is this weekend. Well, I didn't have it. There is a verbal aspect to announcing the kingdom. We have to speak, right? We announce the kingdom of God has come. But notice, Jesus in the Gospels not only announced that he embodies it. He illustrates it by healing people. Now, we could have a long conversation about healing. I mean, like, why are we not seeing as many healings today? Actually, there are a number of reported healings happening all over the world, especially in Asia and South America. Did you know that? It's happening. We're not seeing it as much here. Why is that? That's another sermon, I think. It's a good one. But you know what? Jesus is still healing people. Maybe we lack faith. Maybe we do. That could very well be. Maybe God is doing a new thing. Actually, N.T. Wright is very helpful on this. He says, I forget the name of the scholar. Anyway, one of my Bible teachers said, healing still occur today. Jesus still calls us to heal people. But if you read through the Apostle Paul, there does seem to be a sense that certain people are gifted with that healing. There's an actual spiritual gift of healing. There does seem to be more healings that occur in the Gospels. This is, N.T. Wright says, this is how it was designed to be. Because Jesus was fully embodying, illustrating, giving evidence that the kingdom of God had come. Okay? Now, as I think about healing, I think healings still occur. They need to occur. We need to pray for healing. I also think that certain people have that gift. It's according to Scripture. We need to empower those people to heal others. But I am also thinking one day, when the kingdom of God comes in its fullness, guess what's going to happen? We'll all be healed. Right? The kingdom of God has come near. We'll all be healed. So to keep that vision in mind. And you know what? The greatest miracle or healing of all is what God does in our hearts. Think about who you are and what you've done, what you haven't done. Your sinful human nature, it's very clear in Scripture, that's who we are, right? We are fallen image bearers. God heals us. And as we think about going out now, go and proclaim the kingdom of God has come near, go out and announce it verbally, and go out and heal people. Interesting, the Greek word for healing in this passage is therapeuo. It also can be translated as service. Isn't that fascinating? I think the context does lean more towards actual bodily healing, but as one scholar says, it's Daryl Bach, he says, it's okay to expand that healing ministry. We are all called to be healers, right? You may not have the gift of healing, but you're called to bring healing to someone else. And I think a lot of that healing occurs just through relationship and also through service. Just loving someone else and doing something for that person or family. And the healing occurs, right? So I'm not going to minimize healing. Some of you are desperately needing that or praying for that. May it happen. May it happen. May God heal you. But I'm also going to say, I think we can expand this healing and say healing and service. And that's something we can all do. In fact, this church is really good at it. So brothers and sisters, go out and proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. Go out and heal people. Serve them well. And as you serve, I believe the Lord will bring about healing, especially in the hearts and souls of the people. So there we have it, our marching orders from Luke chapter 10. Go as a team and pray while you go. Go to the people and dwell among them. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God has come near. What a gracious God we serve, that He will give us these really clear instructions on how to reach out into our neighborhoods. Now, this is now the harder part comes. Will we do it? Will we actually do it? Well, let's pray for courage and for faith and for a deep love of our neighbors. And I think that as we pray for that, the Lord will give us what we need to actually go and do this. And then the challenge is to go and be intentional, to really follow in Jesus' example and the example of the 72. The vision is here. It comes at the end of the story. At the end, the 72 disciples return, and guess what? They were full of joy. There is no greater joy than partnering in gospel proclamation. I've experienced it. There is no greater joy. Why do we feel so overjoyed when we do hands and feet and Alpha? Think about it. Two ministries we do on a regular basis. And I think Neighborhood Life is now becoming another one where we are experiencing great joy. Why is that? Because we're doing God's will. We're doing what He calls us to do. We're proclaiming the kingdom of God has come near. And when we do that, guess what? We experience the joy of the Lord. And they said, Jesus, we feel such joy. This feels so good. And they said, you know what? The Lord used us. We were actually able to heal people. The people listened to our message. May that story be ours too, as we go out in obedience and in faith. And I believe it will be. may not be as dramatic as this one, but you know what? I believe God is still working, and he is still wanting us to go out in our neighborhoods and proclaim the kingdom of God is near. Let's not miss this wonderful opportunity. So let's pray that God will help us and thank him for his message, and then we're going to profess our faith as we go out, ready to obey his will. Let's pray. Lord, you are a gracious and compassionate God. You are also a missionary God. Thank you for not leaving the truth to yourself, for not hoarding this gospel that we have just received today. In fact, you sent Jesus, your Son, to come among us, to take on flesh, to humble himself, and then to come among us and to teach us about the kingdom of God, its beauty and fullness, and then to say, go out and proclaim the kingdom of heaven has come near. Lord, we have heard your message today, the one you gave to your disciples, the one you give to us. We want to obey it. We want to experience the joy and the fulfillment of obeying your will and seeing people come to know you. So Lord, give us your courage and faith as we leave this place to go out into our neighborhoods and love your people into the kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Now, one of my favorite pieces from Our World Belongs to God, which is it's our contemporary testimony, is stanza 41. Just listen to this, and you're invited to speak in the next slide. Joining the mission of God. The church is sent with the gospel of the kingdom to call everyone to know and follow Christ and to proclaim to all the assurance that in the name of Jesus there is forgiveness of sin and new life for all who repent and believe. Please join me. The Spirit calls all members to embrace God's mission in their neighborhoods and in the world, to feed the hungry, bring water to the thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and free the prisoner. We repent of leaving this work to a few, for this mission is central to our being. And it is. We know that, friends, because of what Jesus said before he ascended to heaven to be with his Father. I invite you to rise and receive our sending, our final marching orders, and our blessing. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, go, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And all God's people say, amen. So may the Lord give you great joy and peace as you go and proclaim the kingdom of God is near in your neighborhoods this week. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.